Welcome to MPT Podcast. This is Pastor Tim Wilbanks. We pray that this Word of God will bless your life and ministry and increase God's blessing upon you.
Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated for a moment. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. And amen. We give you Pastor Brother Wilbanks and his good wife a great big hand. How many of you love the Wilbanks? Amen. 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 We appreciate them very much. And thankful for all of you that are in the house. Man, the 25 or 30 that aren't here, we'd be putting folding chairs out just about it. Amen. Because somebody say we need to add some pews or knock out some walls. Amen. All the growth material says you got to do something. So I don't know. Knock a wall out sideways or knock them out back that way, extend the back, whatever you got to do. You're going to have to make some room for growth. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. If you got your Bibles, let's take them out. Amen. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation verse 8 and verse 1. What a great day it is to be with the Lord and be with all of you. Enjoyed our session this morning and looking forward to this today and tonight. Revelation 8 and 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels, everybody say seven angels, which before stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a gold censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Out of verse 3, and another angel came. I want to talk to you on the eighth angel. Look at somebody and say, the eighth angel. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated in the name of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7 says, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers flame of fire. Hebrews 1 and 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? In an age of reason and skepticism and even cynicism, there is a massive exaltation of the human intellect. But beyond the human intellect, there is a unseen realm, the realm of the spirit. And in this realm is the eternal, beyond time, forever, never ending, always continuing and ongoing. Time is a space in eternity. If you would, just put your thumb and first finger together and just leave a little space between them. Stick it out away from you and look at it. That could represent the space of time. When God said, let there be light, light began to shine. And the Bible tells there'll be a time when God, an angel will say, time shall be no more. Time is a space in the boundless, ageless distance of eternity. Time is a moment, a second, a minute, an hour, a day, a month, a year, a century, a decade, a millennium. But it is a space that has boundaries and borders and limits. Time has an end, and it will come to an end. The apostle of love, John, is a prisoner, locked up for love, locked up for loving the God-man, Jesus Christ, for loving the Word that was with God, not just mere company, but in most intimate union with God, the Word that was God, the word that was God manifest in the flesh. God, who is love and grace and mercy, the Spirit, God, unseen, but is now revealed by and in and through the flesh of the man Christ Jesus. It was the thought of God that was now revealed. What he thought was himself, and what he thought he became. In the beginning there was a thinker of a thought, and the thinker of the thought was with God, and the thinker of the thought was God. That's what John said. That's the original interpretation of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the thinker of the thought. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. But the literal interpretation is the thinker of a thought. The thinker of the thought was with God. And the thinker of the thought was God. While locked up, John is carried away in the Spirit. Not with his troubles. He was out of time and into eternity. Carried into the boundless, endless, ageless eternity. To get a God view of upcoming events. And events in deepest of past. In Revelation 12 it is shown the casting out of Lucifer. One third of his angels with him into the earth with violent passion. He sees the first attempt of a coup d'etat, a rebellion against God and its complete failure. One third of an innumerable host of angels. One scripture says there was 10,000 times 10,000 times 1,000 angels. 10,000 is an incalculable number in scripture. So it was an incalculable number times an incalculable number of thousands times 1,000. That's a million. So it was a million times an incalculable number of angels, times another incalculable number of angels. But Lucifer, the anointed cherub, three cherubs in scripture, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Lucifer was the only one that was the anointed cherub. He was the only one that was perfect. He was had a throne. God had a throne, but Lucifer had a throne. Amen. He was given authority over the endless, ageless, massless eternity of angels. Countless angels. He was over them. The angels have Lucifer and Gabriel and Michael. Then there are seraphims and then the mass of angels. God is always a God of order. But Lucifer, somewhere in the ages of time, began to think a thought. And his thought cost him. What was his thought? Isaiah said, he said, I will exalt myself. I will be like the Most High. I'll set my throne on the mount of the congregation. And on and on. What was he thinking? He was thinking of a rebellion. And when he didn't say it, he thought it. And when he thought it, God cast him out. Him and one third of the angels. One third of a massless, ageless, countless, limitless, massive angels. God threw one third of that out of heaven. The Bible declares like lightning, 186,000 miles per second. 186,000 miles per second. Strike of lightning. That's how fast they went from the burning presence of God. There are more with us than there are with them. Two-thirds of the holy angels are with God. One-third of the angels now have become demons, devils, fallen spirits. And God never gave one thought about their restoration. Never gave one thought about Lucifer being put back in his throne. But when he made Adam and Eve, and you know what happened to them. The devil kept tempting and tempting and tempting. However long it took, I don't know if it took a week, a month, 2 days, 10 years, 15 years, 1,000 years, it don't matter. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Lucifer kept talking because Eve kept giving place to. Yep. Yep. She was already perfect in the image of, made in the image of God. But she began to believe what the devil said. The devil said, now you know God's keeping some stuff from you. Come on. This one tree in the garden. You know why he don't want you eating that?
Yep.
Well, he said, we don't even touch it. Well, you know why, don't you? Well, he just said, don't touch it.
Right.
He said, well, the devil's playing tricks on you. What do you mean playing tricks? Well, he said, today you eat that fruit, you're going to be just like him. No, we're in his image and in his likeness now. No, you're not. God's lying to you. Can I say to somebody, and I'm off my notes, but can I say to somebody, be very careful what you hear when you get these little thoughts in your mind. It could be the devil, a fallen spirit. Could be somebody in your connection group that gets to yakking and talking. Amen. Look at somebody and say, be careful what you hear. And so this thought of Lucifer caused he and one third of the angels to be cast out of heaven. In our text, the spiritual significance is added with the mention of the number seven. Seven angels. Seven is the number of fullness, spiritual completion. On the seventh day, God rested. Seven becomes the foundation of Israel's cycle of worship through the Old Testament. The tabernacle plan, the door, the brazen altar, laver of water, golden candlestick, table of showbread, altar of incense, the veil hung in the sixth position. The seventh position was with the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. Seven was a place of fullness, the place of completion. And with the mention of trumpets, the first rehearsed reference to the trumpets is in Exodus 19, 1 through 6. I didn't give this to them. They don't have to put it up. They don't want to. Here Moses is to meet God in the mountain of Sinai at the blowing of the trumpets. Trumpets blowing, they calls Israel together for instruction in Numbers 10, 3 and 4. In verse 7, it called, the trumpets were blown and called Israel together for marching. A trumpet was blown and they were called together for war. A trumpet was blown in Isaiah 27, 13 for the return from their dispersion, from being scattered around. And Leviticus 25 and 8 through 10, the trumpet was blown for the year of Jubilee, the 50th year. Every 50th year, a trumpet was blown. And over those top 50 years, if Israel, if they had got into debt, families had got into debt, they'd hand off the kids to slavery or whatever, and some were even bad enough that the whole family was split up. Man went one way and a woman went another, kids went another way to pay off the debts. But at the 50th year, amen, when the trumpet was blown, everybody got it all back. Touch somebody and say, at Pentecost you get everything back. Come on somebody. Can I tell you, we're talking to you about the Holy Ghost and being born again. What we're trying to tell you is when you get born again, you get everything back you lost. You get your sense of calmness back. Come on, tell somebody, I got it all back. I may not be rich, but I got everything I need. Hallelujah. But in our text, the trumpets blowing announced the opening of God's judgment. The release of the seven seals, each being released at the blowing of one of the seven trumpets by one of the seven angels. They blow a trumpet and one of the seven seals. Seven seals are one of the seven forms of judgment that will come. The trumpets, the vials, and the seals will be upcoming and in the near future. Amen. You say, how near? Well, if the rapture took place tonight, 7 years.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. You say, what do you mean if the rapture took place tonight? I'm going to tell you right now in the Holy Ghost that according to the Scripture, there's not one thing prophetically that has to come to pass before Jesus comes.
That's the truth.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
Jesus could come tonight. With the political, and I got all kind of notes and stuff here. I'm not going to read through them. But with all the things that's going on in the politics and the world and the government and craziness, and Israel has been in war now for 7 or 8 months. You don't hear much about it, but we've been in war. We helped stop the hundreds of missiles that were sent to Israel here just a couple of days ago. China has already got one battleship that's out and down from China. Move down a battleship, moving down towards the Middle East, preparing for. What's that got to do? Well, we know there's a massive army. Scripture talks about coming down from the northeast, which is northeast of Israel, which is China, coming down eventually at the end of the tribulation period. They'll be coming down. And now, for the first time, they've got a battleship out of their waters and out and down south into the great ocean towards Israel. Iran has unleashed hundreds of missiles. Of course, we got all of them. They said 99% of them were stopped. What are you saying, Brother God? Without any of us knowing, the rapture's about to take place.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And I know I'm 60. I'll be 61 in a month. Pastor will be there 61 month and a half, the end of May. I'm middle of the first of May. May 20th, Pastor turned 61. May 6th, I turned 61.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I know I don't look 60. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Give me stammer and sign. But can I tell you, it dawned on me just a couple of years ago. I was thinking about this and preaching, and it just kind of dawned on me. When the Lord comes, there'll be people of every age. When I was growing up, I thought, well, I mean, he ain't coming until we all get old. And it didn't dawn on me until years later. So, dummy, ain't everybody ain't always old. Young people looking forward to being an adult. Tell somebody to say, just calm down. Tell somebody, you want to grow up into this. You don't want to hurry that. Hallelujah. Well, I need to get married first. Well, I want to have a baby. All the ladies that have babies said, don't, just slow down now. You know the pain. My daughter just had my third grandchild from her just two nights ago. And amen. That's something else now. But when the Lord comes, be people just like you. 18-year-olds a month away from graduation. Boom, shakalaka. Hey. I can't wait till I graduate. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Boom!
Yeah.
Jeez. And trumpet's going to blow.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to be 12 or 13 waiting to go to high school. Can't wait. Man, I can't wait to be in the ninth grade. And
come on.
Trumpet's going to sound.
Some
mother's going to be pregnant, ready to give birth, and laying on the bed, labor pains kicking. Pump! Oh, trumpet's going to sound. Somebody's going to be getting off work, clocking out. Click, click, you clock out. Pump! Trumpet's going to sound. Somebody's going to be getting up out of a prayer meeting there in a day. You're going to get up from your knees, say, I love you, Jesus. Pump! Trumpet's going to sound. You're going to be gone. Touch three people around you and tell them he's coming.
He's coming.
In our text, these seven trumpets represent the blowing of the seven angels. Blowing these trumpets represent the beginning of judgment. Revelation 8, 7 through 12, the first four angels begin to release the judgments of God. And their ministry begins. The first angel sounded in verse 7, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. 1/3 of the trees on the earth burn up. All of the green grass burn up. Somebody say all grass.
All grass.
In the world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Another angel blew a trumpet. He said it was as were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And 1/3 of all of the part of the sea became blood. 1/3 part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. 1/3 part of the ships that were in the sea were destroyed. A third angel sounded. There fell a great star from heaven burning as it were a lamp. The other day we had, you know, the moon blocking the sun. And then here just the other day I saw there's another comet falling and they're telling you how to watch it. It's just another comet. No, this star is going to fall. And it will fall upon the third part of all rivers and a fountain of and upon the fountain of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And 1/3 part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So at the third angel of the judgment of the seal, 1/3 of the sea becomes blood. 1/3 of the creatures in the sea die. 1/3 of the ships are destroyed. 1/3 of the rivers. 1/3 of the fountains of waters. 1/3 of the waters became wormwood bitter. Wormwood means bitter. 1/3 of the sun was smitten. 1/3 of the moon was smitten. 1/3 of the stars. 1/3 of the world was darkened. Revelation 8 and 13, and behold, I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which were yet to sound. The next three angels will fulfill the judgments of God, unleashing the fullness of his wrath. Now somebody said, well, the church will be here. No, we ain't going to be here. At least not the church I'm in. I'm engaged to Jesus, and you know he's gonna make me stay here for 7 years while he unleashes his fervent wrath and violent passion upon the world. And if I can make it through it, let me ask you this: some of you ladies, you's engaged to your husband. If he said, "Now I'm gonna put you through my personal hell," come on. I'm gonna beat the. I had a word run through my. I'm not gonna say it. It ran through my mind. It didn't come out in my mouth. Out of you for 7 years, and afterwards you still love me. I'm gonna marry. Would you marry him?
No.
She's looking. He ain't got a snowball chance in hell. Now, why in the world would Jesus say, I'm going to put you through my violent passion, my vehement anger, for 7 years, and if you still love me after that, I'll take you. There's no type and shadow anywhere in Scripture where God is going to punish by his own wrath and vehement anger. What are you saying? I'm saying the church is gone. These last three angels are going to fulfill the judgments of God. Finishing off his wrath in verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1 through 11. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven and earth. And him was given the keys of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there was a rose of smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the smoke and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing nor any tree, but only the men who have not the seal of God in their heads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented for 5 months. Men will be stung by these locusts. You will be at death's door but can't die. Tell somebody, if you miss the rapture, their torment was as torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. In those days shall men seek death and not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. He is the angel of the bottomless pit. The sixth angel sounded, I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which was before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Right now at the great river Euphrates, there are four angels that are bound there at that river. And the four angels were loosed, and which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay one third of man. The number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000 men, 200,000. But these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, watch this, repented not of the works of their hands, nor that they should not worship devils or the idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood. Neither can they see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, their sorceries, their fornications, nor of their thefts. Man would not repent. Revelation 10, 1 and 2, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. His face was as it were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and left foot upon the earth, And the angel which I saw stand up on the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, that are therein are, and the earth and things that are therein are, and the sea and things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. Touch somebody and say, that's coming. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, which he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his seven prophets. Judgment, pain, torture, wishing for death. It won't come wishing to die, but you keep living. Why? Because man would not repent. What do I need to repent about? You need to repent of your sins. Army, when I was marching to high school band, or when you're marching in the United States Army or military, Navy, whatever, they're marching one direction, they want you to turn around, they'll say, about face. And you turn around. The Australian Army, they'll holler out, repent. Repentance is a turnaround. I'm talking to people today, and I'm asking you to turn around, to repent. It's been years since I've been here, and it may be years I come back. He says I'm coming back again this year, I hope. In Jesus' name, Ebo Shai Shando Hikabaho. But I'm preaching this message like this is my last time. I really feel to preach. Why, Brother Godwin? Because Jesus could come tonight.
Yes, he could.
2,000 years of grace and mercy from 0 to 1,000 was the first day. One day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as one day to God. 1,001 to the year 2000 was the second day.
Right.
2001 forward is the third day.
Right.
As Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days. That's what Jesus said. As Jesus was in the belly of the earth for 3 days before his resurrection. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. 3 days, not just 1, 2, 3, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 3 in the 3,000th year. At the beginning of the third day, Jonah came out of the whale. Jesus came out of the ground. Third day, we are now, it's 2024, and you know, kids that are 18, like, wow, boom shakalaka, and we ain't got no clue. 35,616 people are infected with a sexually transmitted disease every day.
Yep.
Every 11 seconds someone attempts suicide, or someone's infected with AIDS every 11 seconds of the day. What are you saying? This world is going down, down, down. It's getting worse and worse, crazier and crazier. It's all biblical. It's all Bible. It's all supposed to happen. This is the way it is. Why? Because the devil's doing everything he can to destroy people, to get you confused, to get you angry at church people, to get you angry with other people, to get you angry enough to literally backslide, to become crazy. Tell somebody, just tell hell it ain't going to work. Come on, tell somebody, tell hell, it ain't going to work. Devil, you've come a long way, but I've come to tell you it's not going to work today in this church. I've come to warn people, Jesus is coming. And the only question is have you been born again? Judgment that's been withheld for 2,000 years, pain and death. Unfettered access to God's word and the Bible, missionaries, preachers, pastors, evangelists, teachers, saints of God, living for God, daily a witness, and man would not repent. So comes the judgment. Time is up, but John sees something before the judgment, before the burning of the one third of life. What does he see? He sees another angel. Tell somebody, another angel. That's been waiting for his ministry to begin, and John sees him move and stand at the heavenly altar with a golden censer in his hand. Much incense was given to him to offer it with the prayers of all the saints. To ascend out of his hand unto God, he filled the censer with fire from the altar that's in heaven, and then he winds it up and casts it. John is on the Isle of Patmos, and he sees this vision.
Yes,
And he sees the angel throw this censer filled with all fire from the altar of heaven. It lights up the incense that are in that, in the incense, and he throws it into the earth. What happens? He said, all I could say was I heard voices, the sounds of uttered voices, languages. I heard the tongues of men, and I heard thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Everybody say, before the judgment. What I've read through quickly was the judgment of God that will come. In one of the judgment, trumpets, vials, and seals, three forms of judgment will come at least in the last 3.5 years of the 7 years of tribulation. In 3.5 years, there will be nothing but chaos. 1/3 of humanity will die. All of grass will burn up. All of the trees will be burned up. 1/3 of ships that are in the water will be destroyed. 1/3 of sea life will be destroyed. Tell somebody, say, you don't want to miss the rapture. Before the pain, before the stinging scorpions, before the fire, before the judgment of God, before all of that anger of God is unleashed upon this earth, there's still mercy and grace and forgiveness. Can I say to somebody, today is your time. The eighth angel, 8 is a number of new beginnings. 7 means fullness, completion, spiritual perfection. Amen. 7 years of tribulation, the absolute anger of God will be unleashed. But there was another angel that sounded before those 7. What was that angel? It was an angel of a new beginning. Angel, one more. What's it going to be? It's going to be the great outpouring that's going to come on this planet. I believe it's happening now. Brother David Smith had over 170 some people receive the Holy Ghost last week in the state of Ohio. They're doing it. This is the second time they've done it. Going around to little home mission churches, little small churches around the district. They've been in about 14 or 15, 16 churches in 2 weeks in the last 3 months. And they've had almost 300 people pray through in little churches on Sundays. He'll have 40 to 60 people getting the Holy Ghost right in the state of Ohio. What do you say? Ohio's in the midst of revival. They're having an outbreak. And why? Because the leadership is focused. The pastors are focused. They've come together. They're reaching out. They're reaching for the lost. They're reaching for people. What are you saying? I've come to Tennessee, North Mississippi, to say you need to get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Why? Because Jesus is coming. You got to make room. You got to get chairs. You got to knock out a wall. You're already full. What are you saying? There is one more outpouring coming. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I know you got a long life to live in your mind. But can I tell you, in this last handful of years, you need to think. You need to be aware. Jesus is coming. I know our elders. I see this beautiful gray-haired lady over here shaking her hand and amen to me. I appreciate it, ma'am. I don't know how long you've been to church, but I mean, you've been here a long time, I'm sure. She's been hearing about the coming of the Lord for a long time. But she's lived long enough to live in the moments when there is no prophecy in Scripture left that has to be fulfilled. There's no Scripture left. He could come at any moment. Now, I know the only thing I can think of is coming to my mind is the gospel being preached to the whole world. And we've always had 2 or 3 countries that we knowingly have not had a missionary in reaching. But the new foreign missions director used to be a missionary for many years in a country. I won't say where. I remember the first time he spoke it because of times back in 1990s. They had on the card for the internet, for the service arrangement, the speaker, and on the speaker, first time and only time, it hadn't happened since, they had a to be announced at night. Everybody's like, "What? Who's this? What do you mean to be announced? What are you talking about?" Tell it. I mean, 3,000 preachers and pastors' wives and young people there. What do you mean you don't know who it is? That night, boy, people were buzzing. Who is it? Who is it? And they got ready to do the announcement, and I saw Brother Mangan kind of give a little signal and they cut the PA off. I found out later they cut the PA off, cut the feed on the internet. And he announced the preacher, said, this man has been a missionary in such and such country. Unknown, not on anybody's record, not on the United Pentecost Church record, not on any apostolic church. Nobody has record of him. He's been a missionary there, had great revival, many praying through. He's going to speak to us tonight. One introduced to come up and preach, and people were like, never seen him. Preach, the Holy Ghost fell in that service. What are you saying? I'm saying as far as we know, a couple of countries, that knowingly we don't have somebody preaching Acts 2:38, 8:16, 10:44, 19, 1 through 6, the oneness of God, the new birth message, knowingly. That would be the only thing that could hold God back. But if I, just going by what I feel, that man was in that country for 15 or 16 years. Nobody knew it. What are you saying? The gospel is being preached to this whole world. And I'm saying to you, young man, I'm saying to you, young lady, young couple, time's ticking. He's coming. While you're working and while you got problems and financial problems and marital problems, family problems, time's ticking. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. In the midst of this, describing these seven seals, John, in this vision, he's seeing all this judgment, and then he sees, wait a minute, there's another angel that's waiting to send the censer, ignited with the coals from the altars in heaven, into this earth. It'll be a spiritual thing. There will be an igniting, lightning, thunder sound. It will be massive. What's going to be happening? It's going to be the outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon this whole earth. Now, we've got 8 billion. I said this a little bit in the class this morning. 8.1 or so billion people in the world. We say there's 4.5. We'll say 5 million people that have been born again according to Acts 2:38, 8:16, 10:44, 19, 1 through 6. Of water, spirit, baptism means they've repented. They've been baptized in Jesus' name for remission of sin. They've been filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with tongues. Yep. That causes us to be born again. Yep. So we say right now, knowingly, we got 4 or 5 million on the earth out of 8 billion. Now, our foreign mission director, he's had a big goal of reaching 1 million people this year around the world. Oh, that's fantastic. Got people talking. But 8 billion minus 5 billion that are saved. You have 1 million people pray through. What does it do to the needle on 8 billion? It doesn't even wiggle the needle. If we have 10 million, it doesn't wiggle. If we have 100 million, 100 million of 8 billion. It doesn't even wiggle the needle. What are you saying? I'm saying the last outpouring is going to be so great, so massive, so beyond description. Millions, I will say billions of people. 1, 2, 3 billion people being born again of the water and spirit. How's it going to happen? It has to happen when a church, as I said in the class this morning, we get focused on people at work and around, and we begin to be a good witness and talk to them, teach a simple Bible study and tell them Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And that's why I've come to this pulpit today, and I'm on my last page of notes, but I'm telling somebody Jesus is coming. I want to ask you, are you ready? The 8th angel is happening. Amen. There is about to be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon this world that's going to shake this world. Why? Because all that matters in time, all that matters in your family is about you individually. Are you born again? Have you repented of your sins? Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Do you have the Holy Ghost? If not, the judgment is coming. Pain. 5 months stinging hornets will, and you'll wish for death and can't have it. But before all of that starts, God says there's going to be an outpouring of my spirit. The last outpouring, the spilling out of God's power will be to undo all that hell has done against you. The earth will be shook with an earthquake. It responds to the holy mixture of prayer, past, present, heard, and unheard. All the prayers of the saints. The angel is going to take a vial filled with the prayers of all the saints. My Granny Godwin from Fort Walton Beach, Florida. My Aunt Helen. Her prayers. My dad's prayers. Who passed away 3 years ago this October. My dad's prayers. Quiet, gentle man. Come in late at night. 10 minutes till 11 at the latest, had to be at 11 o'clock or I was grounded. Walk in, I'm home, Dad and Mom. Well, where'd you go? Where'd you eat? Well, went to Crystal's Pizza, ate pizza, ate pepperoni pizza and salad. Well, what'd you do? We played a little foosball and came home well. And we'd end up, I'd talk about, how come I can't get the Holy Ghost? What's going on? I don't want to miss the rapture. And Daddy would never, there were problems in the church, youth group, do something. Daddy would always say, just keep loving Jesus, Bubba. Just keep serving God. Just stay focused on Jesus. He's going to give you the Holy Ghost. Daddy would never say one thing about anybody in the church. He would never say one thing about the pastor. He would never say one thing about the preacher. Not one time did anything negative or diversive come out of his mouth. He was always positive, always focused, always clear about the things of God. You got to be ready, Greg. Come on, we got to be ready. We got to be ready. And that's the way I was raised, and I've come today to ask you, are you ready? Remember 1979, New Year's Eve night, was sitting there. We'd always have it at foot washing communion. We had foot washing. Ladies go downstairs, men be upstairs. We'd have foot washing, and we did take communion. Brother Whalen would give his year-end message and go over the doctrinal statements, and then we'd vote on things. Everybody would vote for say aye. Aye. Everybody opposed. There's one man in church, Brother Adams. He sat back on the right-hand side, left from the pulpit. He'd sit back about third row and back round nine. You know, everybody's for say aye. Aye. Everybody opposed, same sign. He'd go, aye. Be 300 people there. Aye. It didn't matter if he was voting on water. It didn't matter if he was voting on putting new bushes in the front. Aye. He would vote against it. He was against everything. I don't know what the deal was. Yep. And we got done, and Brother McEwen, right before the end of the service, got up back on the right-hand side. Brother Whalen, I need to say something. Yes, sir, Brother McEwen. We need to get ready. God's coming tonight. I remember sitting in front of him. What? I just got the Holy Ghost, 1979. I just got the Holy Ghost that summer. And now it's New Year's Eve. And he said, Brother Whalen, God's coming tonight. There's no way we can go to 19A. He began to name a bunch of political stuff and just going crazy. He said, God's coming tonight. We got to get ready. And boy, we all prayed, came to the altar and prayed and left. Got home about 15 minutes till midnight. And I ran up the stairs and went to the right to my bedroom and jumped into bed and laid there. Had a window on this wall, window here. And I was sitting there at midnight. Man, I was waiting. Oh, my God, Jesus. Jesus' name, oh, God. Help me, Jesus. God, help me be ready. Help me ready midnight, and when it did, firecrackers started going pow, pow, pow. I was like, Jesus, I remember laying in the bed, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. About 10 minutes, fireworks quit, and I was like, look at my clock, oh God, 12:10. I'll never forget the nervous anticipation. Right. He could come tonight. Of course, there was prophetically things that we eventually began to realize hadn't come to pass. No way he could come in 1980. But now, he could come. If he comes today, if the trumpet sounds, came home one day from school, 17 years old. Pulled up to the door, to the driveway, and the front door's open. Mom never left the front door open. So I jumped out of the car and ran to the front door. Hey, Mom, I'm home. No, she'd say, hey, Greg, good to see you. I love you. How was the day? I'd run. We'd meet up. I said, Mom, I'm home. Yep. Mom, I'm home. I heard the kitchen water run. I ran in the kitchen. I mean, it's just here to the boys. I ran in the kitchen. Mom, I'm home. Went, the water was running. Doors open, stove was down, lid was down. I'm like, Mom! Ran out the garage. Mom, I'm home! Ran through the garage. Went to the back door, sliding door was open. Mom, I'm home. I ran in her bedroom with her. I ran up the stairs, ran to the left into the bedroom, went through the closet door into the attic. We got a big walk-in there. Mom, I'm home. Mom! Ran out, ran down the stairs, out the door next door to David and Carolyn Moravis. Knocked on, Carolyn, David, open the door. What's wrong? What's wrong? I said, Jesus come. Mom's gone. The door's open. Water's running. And door's open on the house. She's not there. Jesus come. She said, oh my God. I ran next door to Terry and Barbara Morris, knocking on the door. They were backsliders. We took her grandma to church, 80-something years old. I was beating on the door, screaming. Barbara, Terry, Mom's gone. The Lord's come. And then what? Open the door. Start screaming. I heard something. Greg. And I fell down on the porch. Mom came running. I was screaming. What's wrong, Greg? I said, I thought in the rapture. Where you been, Mom? Well, I was in the house. There's no way you were in the house. I screamed all over that house. That's how it's gonna happen. In high school, I had a dream. I was up on 59th Street, which is the main drag from there up to the high school. It was a place called Kipp's Big Boy, now it's Shoney's. You'd walk in the door, two glass doors, and you got in the second door, there's a little steep podium there, you put your name in. Right here, and ever Kipp's Big Boy's great big circular booth. Walked in there, and I was in this circular booth. I was sitting on the seat this side, looking out the front window. Windows all down the side, about 4:30 in the afternoon. And all of a sudden, it got real bright. And I heard a bang! And I went, no! And I turned and looked, and I said, choo, choo, choo. I said, no, God, no! Because my mind didn't have the Holy Ghost then. And I thought if I'd just be close to Mom, I'd catch her ankle, catch her by the skirt, and I'd go with her. I had dreams about it, man. I could go to heaven with her. But I was 4.5 miles away. And I jumped up. The guy said, what's wrong? I said, Jesus come. Jesus come. And I ran out the door and looked back towards where my house was, back over the long 2 miles of properties. And I could see people, pew, pew. No, Mom. And I was running across the street and came all woke up just like that. I was sweating. Oh, my God. Lord, let me know that's exactly the way it's going to be. Yep. You're going to be sitting down to dinner. You're going to be driving your car. You're going to leave a church service. And you're going to knock. I don't want to pray today. I'm going to wait. You're going to step out the door and the trumpet's going to sound. You're going to absolutely. You're going to. I'm telling you. You're going to regret the day that you heard a message and you didn't say, you know what, God, I'm going to give you my life. God, I'm going to repent. I don't know any of you. I just know Pastor and his wife. I don't know any of you. But I'm just preaching this like it's my last sermon, telling you Jesus is coming. There's nothing prophetically that's holding him back, meaning it has to come to pass before he can come.
Come on.
It's on us now. We're living in borrowed time, the next handful of days, weeks, and if I see it, at the most, you know, did you know on the computers and the internet and everything, but that to 2030. Did you know 2030 and on, we have nothing set up. On the internet, anything, they're talking about it. 2030 comes, it's all, we don't know what's going to happen. What are you talking about? Well, a whole lot of Bible stuff. You got a one world government coming. Got an Antichrist. Oh, he'll be a poor miracles. He'll be the one world ruler. It's going to be boom shakalaka. But the only thing about it is the church will be gone. Which means God will be gone. From this space of time that we live in, the presence of God that's here right now, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He don't leave here to get to Texas or Canada or Yugoslavia. He don't have to leave. He can move here and move in Yugoslavia at the same time, because when he moves, he can move everywhere. But when the rapture takes place, not only is the church, which is his body, going to be taken, but he will leave this space of time. And it will be under the total control and influence of Satan and one third of angels that were cast out of heaven. And there will be nothing then but the judgment of God. But before the judgment. right before it starts, God said, I'm going to, angel, get your vial, fill it with incense. That's right. Get some coals from the altar and put it in there. Yep. Now, I want you to throw that into the earth. There's one angel. He's been waiting this whole time for his job. Like the four angels that are at Euphrates, they've done nothing. They just stopped. They're just camped right there at the river Euphrates. This angel's in heaven waiting. And when God gives him the signal, he's going to fill the coal with the censer with coals of fire that's got the incense in it. And it's going to light. What's the incense? It's going to be all the prayers of all the saints. Your grandma, your great-great-grandma, your great-great-great-grandma that prayed for you before you was even a thought, before your mom and dad was a thought, before their mom and dad was a thought, before their mom and dad was a thought, they prayed for their grandkids. They prayed for their lineage. They prayed for their family in little brush harbors. Why? He said, get all those prayers, angel. He's going to get them all and put them in that censer, and he's going to throw it back into the earth, and it's going to send a massive repercussion.
Come on.
An outpouring like you've never seen. The eighth angel. The angel of a new beginning. So as you bow your head, I want to ask you, are you ready? I remember the feeling running out of that house screaming for my mom. I was an absolute 16-year-old in an absolute panic. Freaking out. We say in New Orleans was going cray cray. I was in panic, total disarray. I mean, I could jump 31 inches off the ground, could jump and hang off the rim in the backyard. I could play 15 years of baseball, shortstop, center field, and catcher. I could play ball. Man, I could sing. But that day, all I knew was mama was gone. Daddy was at work. I'm sure he was gone. Didn't think about calling daddy. I just, oh my God. I missed the rapture. So I'm here at this great church with a great pastor and brother and sister Will Banks. It was a great office. He sold me some books I've never seen that I'm going to order. Man, I got to get them books. This could be my last evangelistic spot today. So I know it's strong. I know I'm asking you. If the rapture takes place in the next 15 minutes, are you ready? Have you been born again? The day's coming when he's going to blow a trumpet. Those that have been born again are in Christ, that are dead, they will be caught up first. Graves will break open all over this world. And then we will be caught up with them, and so shall we ever be in the air with the Lord. We shall be changed from mortal to immortality, from corruptible to incorruption. Our flesh is our problem. It's corruptible. It's a mess. But when the trumpet sounds, if I've been doing everything I can to live for God, I'm going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you just want to just twinkle your eye one time, just real quick. Blink your eye. You can blink your eye so fast it won't even mess up your vision. That's how fast the Spirit of God within you is going to cause a inward's going to become out. We're going to be changed in His likeness. And so shall we be with the Lord forever. It's hard to explain heaven, what it's going to be like. All I know is there's going to be no sin there, going to be no pain there, going to be no death there. It's going to be, in my words, it's going to be the boom shakalaka. It's going to be wonderful because we will escape the judgment of God. We will have made our decision. I remember June 27th, 1979. I can tell you about it like it was yesterday, right now. I can remember the 29th when I got baptized that morning. Right now, I can see myself standing over that tank, metal tank. We didn't have heated water and all that. Nobody even thought about that. Top of the tank was light blue. Down to the top of the water was light blue. But from the top of the water to the bottom of the tank, it was rusty, silverish, brownish, gooeyish. And I was stupid, 16-year-old. I was stupid. And I just looked at it, and I remember standing there thinking, as Gilbert Davis was being baptized, oh, my God, look what the sins have done to this tank. Paint's gone, rusted and grimy and dirty. I was in shock. Brother Greg, come on. I jumped down in the water. I thought, man, I'm not closing my eyes. I want to see what happens when my sin leaves my body. I remember being baptized, but I had my eyes bug-eyed, man. I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. He put me down. And if Gilbert Davis, he was 6'6". He put him down. He just fell in the water. Pulled him back up. When he put me down, it felt like he went down. Held me there 3, 4, 5 seconds and pulled me up. Didn't that? I know it wasn't that way, but it felt like it. And I was in the water looking. Didn't see a spark nowhere. But when he lifted me up out of the water, I felt like a feather. I started jumping and screaming and shouting, started getting the Holy Ghost again. One of the only times I remember it happening, we didn't have church that day. Brother Whalen didn't get preached. People came to the altar and started worshiping. What happened when I was born again? I became a new creature. Not physically, but in my spirit, where I am, the real me inside. I was born again of the water and spirit. Became a member of the body of Christ. Set far above all the spiritual wickedness in high places. It's all under my feet. How'd that happen? When I was born again. Now I'm trying my best to live rapture ready. And as I said today, that's why I'm doing it now. I'm off my notes. I'm trying to reach for every young man. I'm saying, young man, have you been born again? Young man, have you received the Holy Ghost? Mother, have you been born again of the water and spirit? Sir, young husband, have you been born again? Why does it matter? Because Jesus is coming. Touch somebody next to you and say, Jesus is coming. Touch somebody next to you and say, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And I know it's somber and quiet. Boy, this is awful heavy, Brother Godwin. I know. But I'm asking you, 4 more minutes. Is he coming? He could. There's nothing prophetically holding him back. All I want to ask you, all that's going to matter when the horn sounds, have you handled your business? Have you made your decision? Have you been born again? Have you been born again? Have you been born again? That's all that's going to matter. Have you been born again? 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 Because that's what it's going to take. Rapture sounds, the trumpets blow. If you've been born again, the Spirit of God that's in you, whoosh, the blink of a lightning, blink of an eye, we're going to be changed. At the eighth angel, I'm going to tell somebody, I'm glad there's an eighth angel. There's another angel before God's judgment's poured out, before he unleashes his violent wrath and his vehement anger on this earth for opposing him, for working against him. For voting him out. He said, I'm going to take a people out of here for my name. He's going to take them out of the grave first. He's going to take those that are alive and remain that have been born again. He's going to take us out. And so shall we ever be. So then it won't matter what GQ magazine says. It won't matter if I'm dressing cool. I like to look good and all that kind of stuff. But when a horn sounds, that ain't going to matter. All that's going to matter is, have you been born again? That's it. Well, I just don't believe this. It don't matter if you believe it or not. I'm telling you what's going to happen. It's going to happen just like I'm telling you. Trumpet's going to sound. And if you've been born again, you're going to be changed. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, it's going to be chaos, I know. I could go all through tribulation. I could go through all the trouble, cars wreck. I could go through all that. Just somebody say, but before all the chaos, tell your wife, before the chaos, Jesus is coming. Amen. Lift your hands with me and stand to your feet if you would. angel of a new beginning. There's one angel been waiting, Pastor. And all his job is take the prayers from the altar. Take coals from the altar and get the incense. Fill it with the prayers of all the saints. Ignite it. And throw it into the earth. It's going to cause earthquakes. It's going to cause lightning to flash. John's already seen it prophetically. God showed what's going to happen. And he recorded it in a book. Touch somebody and say, we're living in those days right now. As you stand to your feet, I'm opening these altars up for everybody that wants to come pray. Saints, visitors, guests, people need to, I want you to come. Come right here to the front, to the middle. Come with your hands raised as the music begins to play. As they begin to sing, come on, everybody come. Let's make our way to the altar. Could be the last altar call you'll ever hear before the rapture takes place. Come on, come in close. Come on, in the name of Jesus, Lord, help me be ready.
We pray today that this word has blessed you, ministered to the needs of your life. Until next time, God bless you.